Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most exciting and versatile areas of the entire OCR GCSE Art and Design course, illustration. Whether you're just starting your portfolio or you're in the final push before submission, this episode is packed with everything you need to know to hit those top marks. Illustration, at its heart, is about communication. It's about using image making and sometimes typography to tell a story, convey a mood, or express an idea in a way that words alone simply can't. From editorial cartoons and newspapers to children's book covers, from graphic novels to scientific diagrams, illustration is everywhere. And in your GCSE, you get to explore what it means to you as a visual communicator. So let's get into it. We'll cover the core concepts, the key practitioners you need to know, the practical skills that will transform your portfolio, and then I'll give you my top exam tips and common mistakes to avoid. We'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test yourself. Ready? Let's go. First, let's talk about the four assessment objectives, because everything in your portfolio needs to map back to these. OCR awards equal marks across all four: AO1, AO2, AO3, and AO4, each worth 25% of your total mark. Think of them as four equally important pillars holding up your grade. AO1 is about developing your ideas through contextual investigation. This means researching illustrators and understanding how and why they work the way they do, not just listing their name and birthday. Examiners want to see you deconstructing visual language. For example, if you're looking at Ralph Steadman's political satire, don't just say, "He uses ink." Say, "Steadman's aggressive, splattered ink technique creates a sense of chaos and moral corruption, directly reinforcing his satirical critique of power." That is the kind of analytical language that earns marks. AO2 is about refining your work by exploring and selecting appropriate media, materials, and techniques. The key word here is purposeful. You need to demonstrate why you chose a particular medium, why watercolor instead of gouache, why a fine liner instead of a brush pen. Watercolor creates atmospheric, translucent effects, perfect for conveying dreamlike or emotional narratives. Gouache, on the other hand, gives you flat, opaque color, ideal for bold graphic poster work. Every media choice should serve the narrative you're trying to communicate. AO3 is about recording your ideas, observations, and insights. This is your sketchbook work, and it must include primary observation. That means life drawing, location sketches, observational studies from real objects or people. Examiners can tell the difference between a student who has drawn from life and one who has just copied a photograph from Google Images. Primary observation shows in the quality of your mark making, your understanding of form, and the authenticity of your character anatomy. If you're illustrating a story set in a market, go to a market and sketch people. Those life studies will directly inform your final characters and settings. AO4 is your personal response, the final realization of your project. This is where everything comes together. Your final outcome must successfully communicate your intended message or story. Examiners assess the coherence of your compositional hierarchy, meaning, does the viewer's eye travel through the image in the way you intended? Is the most important element dominant? Does the typography, if you've used it, integrate with the image rather than sitting awkwardly on top of it? A strong AO4 outcome is supported by a series of developmental maquettes, small test versions, and storyboards that show the logical progression from your initial ideas to your resolved piece. Now, let's talk about key practitioners. You absolutely need to have at least three illustrators you can discuss in depth. Quentin Blake is essential. His loose, energetic line work for Roald Dahl's books demonstrates how expressive mark-making can convey character personality instantly. His work is a masterclass in economy. He achieves maximum expression with minimal detail. Beatrice Potter, yes, she's classic, but her precise, naturalistic watercolor technique combined with anthropomorphic characters is a brilliant study in how illustration bridges the gap between the real world and the imagined one. For something more contemporary, look at Malika Favre. Her bold, graphic, high-contrast vector illustrations use negative space brilliantly. She works in a style influenced by op art and art deco, and her editorial work for The New Yorker shows how a limited color palette can create incredibly powerful visual impact. And for political satire, Gerald Scarfe alongside Ralph Steadman are your go-to references. Both use distortion and exaggeration as deliberate tools of visual rhetoric. Let's talk about compositional hierarchy. This is a concept that separates good illustration from great illustration. Compositional hierarchy means organizing the elements of your image so that the viewer reads them in the order you intend. You achieve this through scale, making the most important element the largest, through contrast, placing the focal point against the most contrasting background, through leading lines, using the natural flow of shapes and marks to guide the eye, and through color temperature. Warm colors advance, cool colors recede. Topography in illustration deserves special attention. Many candidates lose marks here because they treat text as an afterthought. They finish their image and then plunk some words on top. Instead, think about how the typeface itself communicates meaning. A hand-lettered, irregular font suggests informality and personality. A clean sans-serif suggests modernity and clarity. The relationship between type and image should feel intentional and unified. Right, exam tips. Let me be direct with you here. The single biggest mistake I see in portfolios is superficial artist research. Candidates write a paragraph about an illustrator's life story, where they were born, what school they went to, and award themselves a tick for AO1. Examiners will not credit biographical regurgitation. They want analysis. Use this formula. What does the artist do? How do they do it technically? And why does that technique serve their concept or audience? Every annotation should answer all three of those questions. Second big mistake, disconnection between the preparatory work and the final outcome. Your portfolio must tell a story of development. If your final piece features a specific character design, I should be able to trace that character back through your sketchbook, through life studies, through experimental poses, through media tests. If your final piece appears to have come from nowhere, examiners will question the authenticity of your process. Third mistake, not documenting failures. This sounds counterintuitive, but examiners reward the process of refinement, not just the success. If you tried a technique that didn't work, say you attempted a lino cut and the registration was off, annotate it. Explain what went wrong, what you learned, and how you adjusted. That is genuine AO2 evidence. My top practical tips: annotate as you go, not at the end. Write in the moment, in your own voice, explaining your decisions. Use comparative language. I chose ink over pencil because, or unlike Quentin Blake's loose line, I wanted a more controlled mark to reflect the precision of my scientific illustration theme. Reference your artists in your annotations, and always, always include primary observational studies. For your final outcome, create at least 2 or 3 maquettes, small-scale test versions, before committing to your final piece. Test your color palette. Test your compositional arrangement. Show those tests in your portfolio with annotations explaining what you changed and why. Okay, quick fire quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you a moment to think, then I'll give you the answer. Question 1. What does AO1 assess in OCR GCSE Art and Design? That's right. Developing ideas through contextual investigation and critical analysis of sources and practitioners. Question 2. Name one illustrator known for political satire using expressive ink techniques. Ralph Steadman or Gerald Scarfe, both are correct. Question 3. What is compositional hierarchy? It's the organization of visual elements, so the viewer reads them in the intended order, achieved through scale, contrast, leading lines, and color. Question 4. What is the difference between watercolor and gouache? Watercolor is transparent and atmospheric. Gouache is opaque and flat, ideal for graphic, poster-style work. Question 5. What does AO4 assess? The personal response, the final realization that communicates the intended message or story with coherent compositional hierarchy. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant, you're in great shape. If not, go back to your notes and make sure those answers are locked in. Let's wrap up. The OCR GCSE illustration course is genuinely one of the most creatively rewarding qualifications you can take. But to do it justice, you need to be strategic as well as creative. Remember the 4 pillars. AO1, analyze your artist deeply, not superficially. AO2, make purposeful media choices and document your reasoning. AO3, draw from life, record your observations, and let those primary studies directly inform your final work. AO4, create a final outcome that communicates your intended narrative with confidence and compositional clarity. Use the vocabulary we've covered today. Compositional hierarchy, visual language, mark making, typographic integration, narrative intent. These are the terms that signal to an examiner that you understand illustration at a conceptual level, not just a technical one. Keep your sketchbook alive and annotated. Show your failures as well as your successes. And most importantly, make work that means something to you. Because genuine personal investment always shows in the final outcome. Good luck with your portfolio. You've got this. See you in the next episode.